Reports from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Today, let's talk about the two most important pieces of equipment in your home sound system. How, you may ask, can we say that when we don't even know what type of sound system you have? Well, whether you have a $10,000 sound system at home with preamps and preamps for the preamps, or whether you have a boombox with a hanger sticking out of the side to serve as an antenna, you still have these two pieces of equipment, and they are absolutely crucial to your understanding and enjoyment of sound, whether talk or music. I refer, of course, to your ears. Now, these are remarkable pieces of equipment, tuned over hundreds of thousands of years to work in a particular way and to respond to particular pressures and frequencies in sound waves. Sound waves, as you probably know, are simply changes in pressure, usually in air pressure. Now, this isn't the place to go into a long physiological description of how the human ear works, but the short story is, sound waves hit our eardrums, which then vibrate, and that physical vibration, after a step or two in our middle and inner ears, sets up an electric current, which travels through our nerves to our brains, which interpret those currents as sound. The term eardrum is a very literal description of the stretched membrane in our ear. Microphones, in fact, work in a very similar fashion to eardrums. Microphones also have a stretched membrane-like surface called a diaphragm, which sound waves hit, which causes the diaphragm to vibrate, which in turn sets up an electric current, and so forth. That current may go into a tape recorder or onto a flash drive, and then is played back later and reconverted into sound waves through the vibration of the membranes in the speakers of our sound systems. At any rate, much as our eyes only react to a limited part of the electromagnetic spectrum, our ears respond to only a limited range of sound waves. Most of us have, at one time or another, experimented with a dog whistle and noticed Fido going nuts when we blew into it, even though we did not hear a thing. This range of audible sounds for humans is described in two dimensions, in terms of intensity and in terms of frequency. The lowest intensity of sound that humans can hear is described as a decibel. Most of us have probably heard this term or seen it written on a piece of stereo equipment. It's usually abbreviated in writing using the letters dB. A decibel, by the way, is named after Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone. That's the bell part. The deci part is from Latin, and it means a tenth. It's the same root that we get the word decade from, or the word decimal. For our purposes, decibels are measures of loudness. It's much more complicated in engineering terms, but this is all we need to know for our purposes at the moment. The other way we describe what humans can hear is in terms of frequencies. You'll often see frequency specifications on audio equipment as well. High-end equipment often has a frequency range from about 20 Hz to about 20,000 Hz. A Hz is a frequency of 1 cycle per second. So 20 Hz represents a frequency of 20 cycles per second and so on. Anyway, high-end audio equipment can, in theory, reproduce sounds with frequencies from 20 Hz to 20,000 Hz, or 20 kilohertz. Kilo, you may recall, is the Greek word for thousand. Less expensive sound equipment usually has a more narrow frequency range, perhaps from 30 Hz at the low end to 12 or 15 kilohertz at the high end. So you may be asking at this point, nice, but what does this mean to me? Well, for starters, you may wonder, if I pay for high-end equipment that's capable of reproducing 20 kilohertz frequencies, does that mean that I'm going to hear those frequencies? Not unless you have pretty unusual ears. Some young people with extraordinary hearing might be able to hear a 20 kilohertz frequency, but most people will top out at somewhere around 15 kilohertz on the high end. And I'm very sorry to say, the ability to hear high frequencies diminishes with age. But don't despair just yet if you're as old as I am. It turns out that you can still hear quite a bit in the lower frequency ranges. For example, to keep bandwidth requirement downs, telephones usually cut off all frequencies above 3500 Hz, or 3.5 kHz. and we can still hear voices on the phones quite clearly. How about music, which is something we all care about? Well, it turns out that the fundamental frequency of every instrument in an orchestra is under 5 kilohertz. Wow, you may say. And that's what I said when I looked into it at first. But the whole story is a little bit more complicated. The fundamental frequency is the sound that a pure note, say A major, makes. But instruments are imperfect, and so they also create harmonics. For example, when a violin string or the reed in an oboe vibrates. Harmonics are softer overtones of different frequencies, which often vibrate at higher frequencies than the fundamental one. In fact, it's these harmonics that actually give instruments their individual sound. If, for example, you played the same note on, say, an oboe and a violin, and then filtered out all of the harmonics so that all you had left was the fundamental note or frequency, you'd be hard-pressed to say which instrument was which when you played them back on your sound system. So, to sum up, the most important piece of equipment in your sound system is, after all is said and done, your ears. Our ears react to 2 dimensions of sound, loudness and frequency. Loudness is expressed in decibels and is subject to the same laws of physics as any other kind of change in air pressure. For example, sound is subject to the inverse square law, which says that the intensity of a sound wave is inversely proportional to the square of the distance from the source. So, a sound wave that you hear 2 feet away will be 1/4, or 1/2 × 2, as loud as the one that you hear 1 foot away, and the same sound will be only 1/9 as loud, 1/3 × 3, at a distance of 3 feet. The other dimension that matters to our ears is frequency. Even though only a few of us can hear really high frequencies, most of us get along very well without them. We only run into trouble if for some reason we're unable to hear harmonics, since those are what give sounds their distinctive, their distinctive sound. And speaking of distinctive sounds, we hope you find the sounds we make here distinctive enough to motivate you to tune in for future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.